Welcome to the Sportscast, January 29th, 2019. We're moving the Sportscast into its own channel. Check out thesportscast.net for all information where you can listen to the Sportscast. In February, which is in 2 days, 3 days, it will be no longer be on this channel, the Sleon Productions podcast. So go into the Sportscast. It's already live. Like, you can go on the YouTube channel, go on the iTunes channel, and you can subscribe there. Leave a comment and review. But on February 1st, we're doing a full transition out of Sleon Productions into the Sportscast own channel, just sports only, and you'll hear more of your favorite likes. It's Super Bowl week. Rams and Patriots get ready to play each other this Sunday. Who will win? Will the youth overcome the dynasty? And to join us, to talk to us a little bit about sports, Mr. Ty Turner, welcome to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Ty Turner, Super Bowl week. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, most definitely, man.
Is this something?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
You know what? Actually, take it back. Because I just kind of quickly said most definitely without really filtering through the question.
That's a big statement.
I would say, you know what? Not like, honestly, no, not much. I wouldn't say I'm not that invested in the Super Bowl this year. I don't know why I said that. I guess it must have just been a habit of, like, reaction. Oh, yeah, I'm really interested.
I mean, are you watching the pregame, the interviews?
No. Nah.
Okay. Well, you know, it's all over ESPN, obviously the NFL Network, which I don't think you watch much, or don't you?
For the draft all the time, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when it comes to draft stuff, I'm really, really invested. But when it comes to if the Packers aren't in it, I'm not that engaged. I'm really my fandom is strong towards Green Bay Packers, especially. I mean, like college football, I'm an Oregon Duck fan, clearly, but I really like college football. Like, I like everything about college football, and I follow recruiting, and I follow coaching changes, and I follow like pretty much every major conference in some capacity. But then in other sports, I really have a strong fandom towards one team, and if that team's doing well, then yeah, I'm really invested. I'm really engaged. If that team is not doing well, I kind of disengage. And a lot of the reason I think that has happened, I wouldn't say this was as much if you had gone back at an earlier point in my life. I did have more of a holistic fandom towards all sports, but I have three kids. I actually have a I have a fourth kid on the way.
Congratulations.
But you don't just leave it there for now.
Breaking news.
So, like, when you're involved with your children, and I've also been involved with a couple master's degrees, and I, you know, my work, and so it just causes you to kind of have to, you kind of have to compartmentalize what you really invest your time in. And I would say I have compartmentalized, hopefully I can speak a little better in the near future. I can compartmentalize, and I've done that towards probably college football more so than any other sport.
I do agree on that one. Did you watch the Senior Bowl on Saturday?
No, I didn't. No, I actually didn't.
Why did you not watch it?
I was probably doing something with my kids.
There you go. How significant is the Senior Bowl? Is it something that, you know, scouts are there, NFL draftees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's another opportunity to present your talents towards scouts and show what you can do against some of the best guys at their position groups across the country. So, yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity through the practice sessions and through the game itself for people to elevate their draft stock. Maybe if they're a little more on the fence, maybe they're kind of a guy that is trying to sneak into the end of the draft, or, you know, something along those lines. So, yeah, it has some importance to it, most definitely.
Yeah, the North defeated the South 34-24, and I think a few quarterbacks shown. The quarterback from Buffalo, Tyree Jackson, heard really good things about him.
Yeah, really? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and I think Jake Fromm played a little bit, but like I said, I think the quarterback
Jake Fromm didn't play. Jake Fromm's a sophomore at Georgia.
Oh, my bad, my bad. Okay, I heard it wrong.
I can assure you Jake Fromm did. Maybe Drew Locke is who you're talking about?
Drew Locke, yes. I get confused with the two.
Yeah, I think I actually did. I did hear that Drew Locke played pretty well. I did hear that.
But as of right now, the two main quarterbacks is Murray and Haskins. You agree?
No, I'm actually hearing Locke.
Drew Locke. Is,
I don't know if it's because of his Senior Bowl performance or because maybe he's just gaining a little steam up the draft boards. But actually, I'm hearing and Daniel Jones. No, I've actually heard there's a pretty good possibility four guys going first round.
Interesting. Do you see Murray?
Most of the mocks that I'm seeing.
Do you see Murray in the top 10 yet?
I have to be honest, I have not been as engaged probably as I'm going to be, so I'm going to have to look into it a little bit more. I have seen him in several first rounds, but I think the last one I saw, I think predominantly I've seen Haskins go first.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot with him going to the Giants, but I have seen some Drew Locke. I have seen Drew Locke. I even heard some rumors that Denver was very interested in Drew Locke, and there's been always a little bit of scuttlebutt around Daniel Jones too. Possibly, maybe if the Dolphins change their mind, possibly the Jaguars, another team maybe possibly that's looking for quarterbacks like the Redskins, and then Murray. Murray's kind of been a wild card from the draft analysis I've seen. It's like, he's kind of the guy that maybe a quarterback, maybe as an athlete. I've seen him with like the Patriots. I've seen him with the Giants. I actually have seen him with the Giants.
Yeah.
But kind of more as like a guy that could go a couple different ways instead of just a pure quarterback. Pure quarterback, it still is Haskins and Jones or Locke. And then kind of that just athlete who can, you know, be put in a couple different places is Kyler Murray. And I'm seeing him like in first round mocks for sure.
Yeah, I'm seeing a CBS one by this guy named Ryan Wilson. I don't know if you know him. And he has Murray. Go ahead.
If you're going to pull up, I'd try to pull up the best one you could. Do you have Daniel Jeremiah?
I'll look for it.
Pull up Daniel Jeremiah. He's always been a pretty connected
pretty
scout. Yeah, he's with NFL.com. Bucky Brooks is pretty solid. There's some that aren't. Like, I mean, Mel Kiper and McShay definitely have their sources and they have some connections, but I don't know that Ryan Wilson guy.
Yeah, so, he has Murray going to the Broncos at 10th.
Okay.
But there is one on January 18th, but a lot has changed since January 18th. I mean, Denver Jeremiah,
January 18th is not very long ago.
I'll read it off if you want. He has...
Yeah, that... Daniel Jeremiah is probably the most accurate one, in my opinion.
He has Nick Bosa going first to the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I agree.
And then he has Haskins going to the Giants.
I agree.
And I'm looking for another quarterback here. Wow, Murray is not even in the top 10. Let me find it.
That's not surprising. I'm not surprised by that.
Oh,
at all.
Yes, he has Murray on the 31st pick going to the Patriots.
You know what? I think that's pretty accurate. Daniel Jeremiah is pretty good.
Okay.
Where does he have Daniel Jones and Drew Locke going?
Daniel Jones, he has going to him to the Dolphins.
At number 13?
13, yep. And who's the other
where
guy?
Where does he have Drew Locke?
Drew Locke. He has him. He doesn't have him in the first round. Interesting.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Locke did, he was one guy that I heard had a very good Senior Bowl performance. And I have heard since then that he maybe moved into the first round. That's the only really thing I've heard from the Senior Bowl that has made movement with any top-end guys.
Yeah.
I actually heard from Drew Locke, possibly Denver, is what I heard. I don't know. That's about right with Kyler Murray. Having Kyler Murray going to the top 10, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's what Ryan Thomas, Ryan Wilson said. He's a writer for CBS Sports, but you don't know who he is. If you don't know him, it's not legit. I'm kidding.
I'm not going to say he's not legit. I'm not going to jump and say someone's not legit, but no, I do not know who he is.
I'm just exaggerating. But
I know.
Okay, so just to finish off the list, he has number one, Quinnen Williams going to the Cardinals. What do you think about that from Alabama?
With Nick Bosa, yeah, sure.
And then Bosa over to the Niners.
Not Bosa. You just said Bosa once.
No, Quinnen Williams first goes to the Cardinals. That's this Ryan Thomas guy said.
Oh, I thought you said Bosa. Oh, sorry. No. I couldn't hear you.
Quinnen Williams.
Oh, so Quinn. No, Nick Bosa's going first.
Okay.
Who's this guy? Is this Jeremiah or
this
Wilson?
Is Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports.
This guy, don't talk to me about him.
Okay, that's fine. We'll move on to the next.
Give me Daniel Jeremiah, a guy who knows what the heck he's talking about. Wilson's probably very good. He probably writes worthless stuff. But sorry. I mean, everyone has Nick Bosa going first. I don't know what world he's living in.
Yeah, which by the way, you're able to write down your mock draft at the sportscast.net, by the way.
Awesome. So, well, give me Jeremiah. Give me a couple of Jeremiah. Give me a couple. Well, you already did.
I did, and I can't find anything lately. Maybe he's giving himself another week to think about it, but I haven't seen anything lately. But let me see. Move the Sticks. That's his Twitter name.
I think you could pretty much pencil in Nick Bosa at number one. I mean, he's been widely considered probably the top pick for, like, ever. So
he's really good.
I think you could pencil him. Quinton Wilson will be up there. Josh Allen for Kentucky is going to be up there. Greedy Williams will be up there. Brevin White is going to be a guy that's drafted in the top 10. Dwayne Haskins is going to be a top 10 pick. I ultimately wonder if Dwayne Haskins ends up maybe being the number one pick. I could see maybe the Giants trading up. It's a quarterback. They tend to go higher than probably they should. I could see a Daniel Jones or Drew Locke going in the top 10. I do not think Kyler Murray goes in the top 10. I don't care what anyone says. I think he's a guy that ends up going like 31st to the Patriots. I think that's about what ends up happening.
Yeah, but
if you're gonna ask me today who I think drafts him, I think he's a total New England Patriots type pick. He reminds me of a Julian Edelman or a Danny Woodhead who played quarterback. Both those guys played quarterback in college. So that makes sense for Kyler Murray, honestly.
Yeah, which they could convert him to a different position.
He will get converted to a different position. He's not going to play quarterback in the NFL.
Wow. You hear first at the sports guys. USC hires North Texas offensive coordinator Graham Harrell to replace Cliff Kingsbury. The North Texas offensive coordinator Graham Harrell on Monday night accepted an offer to become USC's new offensive coordinator. What are your thoughts about that move?
I mean, man, they're scrambling at USC. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury left them in a tough position. Graham Harrell is a guy that played under Mike Leach. He then started his coaching career at Washington State. He's done well in his 2 years at North Texas, but here's that's the outlier. But the actual facts of the situation is he's only been an OC for 2 years. He's been an OC at the non-Power 5 level, and, you know, he's definitely making a step up. He's still very young. Do I think it's a decent hire? It's decent, but it's not great. I mean, it's not Cliff Kingsbury. It's not a guy who is a head coach already, a guy who was an OC at the Power 5 level. This is a guy that is still pretty young. I think he seems like a pretty sharp guy. I think he has potential. He comes from a good coaching tree, the Mike Leach, the air raid offense. But, they definitely are still taking a chance. It's definitely not a slam dunk hire.
Harrell spent the past three seasons as offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at North Texas, which won 9 games in each of the past two seasons and produced dynamic offenses behind quarterback Mason Fine. He previously spent 2 seasons as outside receivers coach for Leach at Washington State. Washington State guy. Interesting.
Well, I said that.
Yeah, I know.
That.
I know. I'm sorry.
Then why are you saying it's interesting? I already established you as a Washington State guy. I said he played under leash and then he coached under leash.
I'm sorry. Anyways.
He's literally tuned out sometimes on the other end. It's so obvious. I'll, like, say something. You're like, oh, there's a Washington State guy. So you read it. I'm like, yep, just said that.
Washington State, man. Like, we'll see what happens with them in the next couple of years.
No, last week I go on how Joe Salavea and Jim Master were hired for Oregon from Washington State. And then you, like, 2 minutes later are like, oh, you know what? They hired Joe Salavea in 2017 and Jim Master in 2018. I'm like, no crap. I just said that.
Does Washington State produce good coaches? Is that what I'm seeing?
It's Mike Leach. Mike Leach is the, well, it's Mike Leach. Anything under Mike Leach is a good coach. Yeah. Mike Leach is a very good coach. Oh,
man, it feels
what did Mike Leach do at Texas before, Texas Tech before he went to Washington State? I mean, when he was at Texas Tech, he had them winning 10-plus games. 1 year, he had them in position to possibly make the BCS game. They lost at the end, but they were at number one at one point. And then at Washington State, I think he's had 3 or 4 9-plus win seasons in a row. Texas Tech before and after him has been crap. Washington State before him was crap. I mean, Mike Leach can really coach.
Mike Leach is the man.
I mean, he's an excellent coach. He's one of the better coaches in college football, and anyone who argues that is just using cognitive dissonance.
But Nick Saban's better. I'm kidding.
What'd you say?
Never mind. In other USC news, recruit Brew McCoy is leaving USC for Texas.
Yeah, he left. Yeah.
Huge loss for USC?
I mean, he was, five-star, consensus five-star, their top recruit. Big loss.
McCoy was the highest-ranked recruit in the Trojans' class, had an opportunity to earn playing time in his first season on campus. He announced his commitment to USC on January 5th. Days later, USC offensive coordinator Kingsbury left the program to join the Arizona Cardinals, so all that came knocking down.
And the after-effect of, in general, USC has had some of the serious attrition issues this season. Especially after the season, what's his name? Sydney, and might be screwing his name up. Forgive me. Transferring. Josh Kerbaum is transferring, another receiver. You had Bubba Bolden who left the team midseason. I cannot pronounce the guy's name, but he's a former five-star defensive lineman from Maryland. He has a very difficult name to pronounce. Am I missing? I know they had Yakili Ross, like, was it midseason? I think he left. Before the season last year, they lost a couple five stars and wide receiver Joseph Lewis for getting arrested for domestic violence. And I think it was robbery was the reason why former five star corner Jack Jones was kicked off the team. So over the last year, and there could be more, USC has some of the worst attrition in college football. And not just, Levi Jones. Levi Jones, a former top 50 four-star transfer to North Carolina State. So it's just been a lot of guys they've lost. And Crawford. I think his name was it Crawford? I'm forgetting names. I don't know. I'm really forgetful. Can't speak to that.
You're asking me. I'm not sure what's going on with USC.
No, there's the guy he ended up transferring to Minnesota. He was a wide receiver. I can't think of his name. So they've had four different wide receivers, including McCoy, that have left over the last, several months.
Wow.
So it's been some serious attrition issues with USC.
USC, the team of the late 2000s under Pete Carroll, we'll see those days could be relived again in the future.
What did you say?
We'll see if USC can make a comeback in the future, in a few years from now, not anytime soon, I think.
I hope not. I hope not. I love USC being down. I just like USC more than any other school in college football, so I do not want to see them return. But I will admit that USC probably has one of the true blue bloods in college football. They have one of the most substantial recruiting areas, Southern California might have more talent than any other area in the demographic in the country. So, yeah, it's USC's always someone that can rise up. But I enjoy them being down.
Yeah, this could be a good opportunity for Oregon to capitalize. Running back Ty Sun Williams leaving South Carolina after two seasons. What do you think about that?
I have no idea.
Okay. You're not following the Gamecocks as much.
Well, I follow that.
Williams, a redshirt junior from Sumter, tweeted his thanks to South Carolina coaches and teammates, adding that he's reopening my recruitment in order to find the best fit for a final season. He's 6 foot, 219-pound tailback who started his career at North Carolina in 2015 before coming to the Gamecocks, where he has been part of the regular rotation at the tailback the past two seasons. He was the team's second leading rusher in 2017 with 471 yards. So he'd be leaving. The Power Five conferences vote to provide mental health services. The Power Five conferences unanimously passed legislation Thursday at the NCAA convention requiring their schools to make mental health services and resources available for student athletes. What do you think about that?
Good.
That's very good. The legislation is meant to further strengthen mental health services already provided on campus. As part of it, schools will distribute mental health education information and resources to student athletes, coaches, administrators, and other athletics personnel. So
that's awesome.
You'll get
good to hear.
All those services if you're dealing with mental issues. Any other college football recruitment news?
Well, since you mentioned transfers, you kind of briefly mentioned. Why did you ask me about the South Carolina guy? Was that just?
It is one of the headlines on ESPN.
Oh, okay. Well, to touch on that, Oregon has Juwan Johnson, a former four-star, top 150 guy from Penn State. He is visiting Oregon this weekend. He's a wide receiver. When he committed to Penn State, it was between actually Penn State and Alabama. His main recruiter was Mario Cristobal. So, as life happens, he's back on the market, and Mario Cristobal is now the head coach of Oregon. And so immediately when he decided he was going to transfer, you heard a lot of rumblings that they were going to be the favorites for him. And no doubt the first team he's visiting is Oregon. And I would say Oregon had some openings at wide receiver, probably the weakest position group this past season. Where are my headphones? Anyway, weakest position group this past season. So I would expect maybe him to commit this weekend, come to Oregon for his last year. And that's a pretty good pickup. Former top 150 guy. He was a little inconsistent catching the ball at Penn State, but he's a big guy, about 6'4", 215, can really run. He has pro potential physically. He needs to catch the ball a little more consistently, but obviously an opportunity to play. Get playing time, an opportunity to play with a really good quarterback in Justin Herbert, and the fact that he already has a past relationship with Mario Cristobal, I think he'll end up coming to Oregon. I would be very surprised if he really goes much past Oregon in his recruitment. I don't know. He might not even visit anyone else.
In Oregon news, an Oregon assistant strength and conditioning coach has left the program. Matthew File has decided to move on from the Ducks. He announced on his personal Twitter page Monday evening. Do you know much about Matthew File?
I mean, yeah, he's an assistant strength coach. I mean, yeah, good for him. We also, the wide receiver coach, Michael Johnson, also left the team.
Oh.
He went to Mississippi State. But that happens. I mean, you're going to have guys move on. Sometimes... I mean, it's like sometimes people make these huge deals when you have a head coach move on, that's a big deal. That's the head guy of the program moving on. More than likely, a lot of coaches move on with him. If a new coach gets hired, he brings in a whole new staff. That's a big deal. An offensive or defensive coordinator is a fairly big deal. It's not the head guy. Not necessarily anyone else will go with him, but it's still a guy that's the main coordinator, the main coach of the offense, main coordinator, main coach of the defense. It's a pretty big guy. But when people are making big deals about wide receiver coaches, because I follow a lot of the football message boards, it's like, man, I think recruits, literally, I've seen questions like guys saying, think that recruit's going to decide to transfer because the wide receiver coach left? Or man, you think because the assistant strength coach left, he's going to, guys might be leaving the program? It's like, no, people aren't going to, you don't commit to a program. Man, I committed because of, like, even, like, Juwan Johnson had a very, his main recruiter was Mario Cristobal. It's actually said that that was the person he had the best relationship with as far as recruitment. But where did he go? He went to Penn State because he probably liked, you know, James Franklin. He probably liked playing time. He liked Penn State. He liked the university. So people go normally for those reasons. I would say it boils down to the, do they like the college? Do they like where it's located? Do they like what it has to offer? Do they like the facilities? And then I would say, do they like the head coach? Do they have a good relationship with the head coach? And then how do they fit into either the offense or how do they fit into the defense? A relationship with one singular coach, I just don't think that's the overriding factor. A singular coach, meaning a position coach. I don't think the ultimate tipper is ever, well, man, I really liked the assistant offensive line coach, and he left, and therefore, because I played college football.
You did.
I played the junior college, and then I played for one staff at Liberty as a junior. That whole staff got fired, and they brought in a whole other staff. And I could say that, actually, I liked the second staff. The staff that I actually committed to, the one that I actually went to Liberty to, I didn't even like. By the end, I was like, thank God they're gone. I couldn't even stand them. Like the guy was annoying.
You first heard it here.
So yeah. I mean, he was a terrible coach. We were literally 1-11 my junior year. Half the school was probably going to transfer. He was a terrible coach. But anyway, long story short, the tipping point is, like, yeah, they lost an assistant strength coach. Things will go on.
Life goes on, right?
Life will go on. They lost Michael Johnson. Believe me, Michael Johnson left. That's a good thing. He was not – the wide receivers at Oregon did not perform very well the last 2 years. It was quite possibly the most anemic group, not only for Oregon – but one of the more anemic groups in the whole Pac-12
and other
wide receiver group. So
yeah.
So I don't think we're missing a whole lot.
In other Oregon news, former Oregon wide receiver Tabari Hines will finish his college career at NC State. Hines transferred to Oregon from Wake Forest for the 2018 season, but only appeared in 4 games for the Ducks before it was announced that he would transfer again. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he did jack squat. Bye.
He said, I'm excited about the decision. The need at receiver separated NC State. There was so much production that left from last season. So
if they're expecting him to give much production, I'm sorry. That's scary. That's scary. I'm telling you, what did I just say about Oregon's receiving core this year?
They need more help. Michael Johnson did not do a good job with them.
I did say that. And what else did I say? Were they good?
No, not
good
enough.
Were they good this past season? No. Barry Hines couldn't even play with that receiving core.
Wow.
And that tells you who their
dad is. That tells you a lot.
He couldn't even play on one of the worst receiving cores in the Pac-12. Bye.
Green Bay Packer news. Packers interview Wes Welker for assistant coach position. Would you hire him?
He was a very good football player. As a coach, I don't know. He was a very good football player.
He's very good. One of the best receivers.
Yep.
Played for both Manny and Brady.
Yep, very good player. But as a coach, I can't really speak for his coaching acumen. Being a good football player and being a good coach are not –
it doesn't
correlate necessarily. You could be a great football player and a terrible coach. You could be a very average football player because you just lack physical ability and be an absolutely terrific coach.
Devontae Adams says Packers offense will be new school under new coach. You agree?
What did he say? Say that again.
That the Packers offense will be new school under new coach.
I mean, what does he exactly mean by that?
Let me go into the article. In December, Devontae Adams volunteered the strongest statement in the support of Joe Philbin that anyone in the Green Bay Packers locker room made during the month-long tenure of interim coach. It was a great first impression. Great. About LaFleur.
Was that Philbin? Because you said Philbin.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I'm really confused right now.
No, it's okay. We'll see. I mean, he's just saying that the offense will be more... We'll be more new school with this new guy compared to Mike McCarthy. So, I guess new school could mean what, more power offense like the Rams. I guess we'll see.
I mean, that's not a definitive statement. I mean, it's very general, like new school.
Yeah.
Like, what does he mean? Like, it's new school, yo.
New offense.
I mean, people speak in such sweeping statements and vast generalizations. It's tough to. It's like what you have to define that. Like, how do you define?
He said a little bit more innovative, some more new school stuff, not necessarily trick plays. I think.
Innovative. So kind of the premise behind what he's saying is a more innovative offense.
Yes, and he said, I think the RPO stuff will still stay alive. Some of his crossing patterns, a lot of different things that maybe we don't do as much in the past, he'll bring that in.
He could be correct.
Yeah.
Could be more innovative. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so. We need some talent. We need a little talent upgrade for the Packers. That's kind of what they need. They definitely need to draft a couple receivers.
They don't need running backs.
In the first round... I like Jones. I don't mind the other guy, the BYU guy, Williams. I think who's the third one? There's three running backs right now. I like Jones. Jones is really good. He's really explosive. He's a fun running back. Williams is solid, especially a short yardage guy. I could see them drafting running back. Yeah, they could draft a running back, but I would say more of a middle round guy because they have two solid running backs. They need receivers. They have Devontae Adams and a bunch of. No, that's all I'm going to say. They have Devontae Adams. That's about it.
The Packers.
No, I mean, they need receivers.
They have a good quarterback.
I'm going to really be emphatic. They need. What am I saying, San Diego? They need receivers.
That's it. That's all they need.
They need darn receivers, Santiago.
They need Dez Bryant.
No, they do not need him. He can do whatever he's doing now.
And maybe coached by Wes Welker. Well, I'm kidding. Anyways,
maybe.
Anything else before game predictions?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bring up Novak yet.
Oh, yeah, Novak won. Congratulations. What an historic win. He's setting up records. What did you think about his win in the Australian Open?
I mean, it's very impressive. I mean, when you were hearing the build-up to the matchup with Nadal. For one, Nadal had not lost a set the whole Australian Open.
Wow.
So when you heard the build-up, you were like, I think the people were saying Nadal. I mean, I watched a couple of analysis, pre-match analysis, and a lot of people were like, they thought this one guy, he knew a ton about tennis. I mean, he could break down a lot more so than I could. He'd break down the strokes and break down the mental and aspect of the game, and he did a great breakdown, but he's like, I think I saw something at the end of Wimbledon that Nadal can build upon that will allow him to defeat Novak, and I don't think Novak has an answer. It's funny, you can have all this knowledge and then you can just subjectively input like this game plan that's going to happen and say that one guy doesn't have. Well, all I could say is, what happened to that game plan? Because Nadal got blitzed. I mean, did you see the match?
I didn't see the match. I know it was during the night. I
mean, it was not close at all. I think it was.
It was a blowout.
Off memory, it was like 6-3, 6-2, 6-3. It was 6-3, 6-2, 6-3, 6-2, 6-3, 6-3. Something like that. I mean, it was three sets. He won a couple games. That's about it. And I watched the highlights. I actually didn't even get to watch the whole match because, yeah, like you said, it was at 1:30 in the morning, which is ridiculous.
Which you probably did that, right? You were staying up all night.
No, I didn't. No, I said, yeah, three kids. I can't do that. If I stay up all night, I won't recover for days because my kids don't care if I didn't sleep. No, I can't. I can't do that.
What else?
I could. When I was single and had kids, I did that all the time. I'd wake up and watch tennis matches at 3 in the morning, boxing matches at 6 in the morning, whatever it took. But no, I can't do that anymore.
What else is in the docket? For Novak, what else does he have to prove and win?
What do you mean exactly? What does he have to prove?
Like you were telling me that he wants to break a record or something for like the most Grand Slams?
Well, who holds the record right now for most Grand Slams, right?
Is it Nadal or Federer?
It's Federer.
Federer.
Federer okay. is 20. Federer is 20 career Grand Slams, Nadal wow. 17. Novak is 15. They're the top three. The three greatest tennis players of all time. And people can argue all they want, but they're arguing at the wall, which is fun. But anyway, the three greatest tennis players of all time is Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. And the reason why they're the three greatest is because those three are the leaders in the Grand Slam titles, along with the fact that they all played each other. So not only did they win the most Grand Slams, they won it at a time that they had to play each other. So it's pretty remarkable that the three best players all were at the same time. Do I think Novak Djokovic catches Roger Federer? It's hard to say. As great as Novak is, when Novak Djokovic has been playing his best, he is, in my opinion, the greatest tennis player of all time. I might be a little bit off my years here, but I think in 2010 to 2011, I believe he won 4 out of 5 Grand Slams in a row. In 14 to 15 or 15 to 16, and once again, might be 15 to 16, my years might be off. He won 4 straight. He held all four Grand Slams at the same time. He didn't win it all in the same calendar year, but he won Wimbledon, U.S. Open, Australian Open, and French Open. And now, in 2019, he has won the last 3 Grand Slams. If he wins the French Open, he once again will hold 4 Grand Slams at the same time. So if you add those 3 years together, he's won 12 of 13 Grand Slams. Remarkable. That's literally, you're winning all of the Grand Slams. But he had periods. 13, 14, 15, he didn't win any Grand Slams. He won maybe one in a 3-year time. And then was it 16, 17, the beginning of 18, he didn't win a Grand Slam. He didn't win Grand Slam for a little over 2 years. So he's had long periods due to injury or due to inconsistent play or due to personal life issues that have caused him not to be consistent as he could be. But when Novak Djokovic is really playing well, like in 2011-ish and in 2015-ish and now again to 2019, he really is an unstoppable player. He's the greatest returner of all time. There's never been a greater returner than Novak Djokovic. He's ridiculously flexible. He can hit balls that most people just cannot hit. He makes shots that you're like, oh, there's no, what? Like, you just told him a couple times, he's like, oh, Nadal got, what? Nadal got that? He didn't get that point. Even Nadal's like, whoa, how did he get that? He'll go ridiculously stretch out with his, he's super long and super flexible that it makes as when he's returning, shots that most people would just not get to, he gets to. And if you're not ready, you think, especially as the guy who's serving, you're like, oh, I got that. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't. And by the time you're trying to recover, he already has the upper hand. So as a returner, he's the greatest returner of all time. Athletically, he might be the most athletic, I'd say maybe tennis player of all time. And Novak is simply remarkable. But He has had periods of inconsistency. Will it happen again? I don't know. If it does happen again, his time might run out. He was 31. He could be very good for 3-4 more years. But let's say he gets hurt again this summer, and then all of a sudden you see another 2-3 years where he's recovering and he doesn't quite have it mentally and he's not back from his injury, then he might never get it back and he might not be able to catch Federer. Part of what made Roger Federer so good was his consistency.
Yeah.
Like, Roger always just consistently has won. He's had periods where he's won a lot, but then he's had always times where he's won and just consistently kept it going, and that's why even up until last year, he was winning majors at 36 years of age, and he's been doing it for like 15 years. Novak has proven to win a lot in spurts, but at times take like a couple of years where he doesn't win at all. But if he's able to like win the Grand Slam this year, he wins all of them. He wins French, he wins Wimbledon, he wins a U.S. Open, then he would have 18 titles. And then I think you'd be looking at Novak possibly catching him within the next couple of years.
I really like Federer's tennis shoes.
Yeah, I'm a Novak fan. I hope Novak ends up winning the most Grand Slams of all time. I'm personally rooting for Novak as much as I like Federer, but I love Novak. He's my favorite player of all time, and he's just his fiery spirit. And he never was as loved. He's never been as loved as Roger Federer. He never has been as loved as Rafael Nadal. I think they have a greater following. I've read a couple of really good articles on how he's was kind of the forgotten third guy. But when you really look at the career of Novak Djokovic, he's just an incredible player. And when he is playing well, I just don't think there's anyone better. And one thing to really remember is he has a winning record against Roger Federer, and he has a winning record against Rafael Nadal. He leads both of them in the head-to-head. So if he ends up winning the most Grand Slams of all time, or even tying Roger Federer, but owning the head-to-heads, I would say Novak Djokovic will go down as the greatest tennis player of all time. And it's my prediction that he does end up winning about 20, 21 majors, and he will own the head-to-head over both Nadal and Federer. And I believe Novak Djokovic, when all is said and done, in a decade, when we talk about who's the greatest tennis player of all time, whether we want to admit it or not, I think we're going to say it's Novak Djokovic.
There you go. Novak, Packers, and the Ducks. Those are Tyler's world in sports.
Well, I'm more a Tiger. I'm a huge Tiger fan.
Tigers as in the Detroit Tigers?
No, Tiger Woods.
Oh, Tiger Woods. That's right. That's the golf guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. I love Tiger Woods. Yeah, I love the Packers and I love the Ducks.
You do like the Vikings sometimes, right? No.
What?
One time it's like,
where
oh,
are you?
What time the Vikings are playing? I think you said one time. Anyways.
Dude, I'm a Packer fan.
Packer
you
for life.
You made that up. Now, don't try to run out of that. You need this crazy thing to be a Packer fan. Packer for life.
Anyways.
But let's make a little comment, because I don't know when I'm going to be on again. Before we do a prediction on the Super Bowl that I'm really not interested in. Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, is the second National Signing Day.
Ooh,
so
huge.
You know, you had the first National Signing Day, December, I think it was 19th or 21st. You're having the second National Signing Day. That's when all the teams like really finish their classes. I believe you have about 25% roughly of the prospects left out there. I think when it comes to blue chippers, which is just 4 and 5 stars, I think it's only about 10 to 15% are left. But you still have some classes that are going to make some movement. And I'd say who to watch out for. You're going to ask me that. You're going to say, who do I watch out for on signing day?
Yes.
You might not think it. Yeah, you didn't think you're going to ask that question, but you're going to ask me it, right?
So, I'm going to ask you. You just took the words out of my mouth. What's going to happen next Tuesday?
Watch out for Penn State. Penn State's rolling. They've been bringing a bunch of dudes in. Watch for them to flip possibly Nick Cross from Florida State safety. Watch for them to possibly flip Nestor. I forgot his first name. I think it's Jacob Nestor, the guard who's committed to Ohio State. They also are in it with Wynton Astro, who's a guy reclassified. I think he's a four-star at defensive tackle. There's a couple other guys that can't remember off my end, but Penn State could end up having a very good signing day. I'd also watch for Florida. Florida is in it for defensive end George Moore, and it's between them and Georgia for Kahir Elam. Remember Elam, who played in the NFL? He was a cornerback probably about a decade ago. Jason Elam,
the kicker.
No, that's kicker. Maybe I'm saying his name wrong. It's Elam, not kicker. He's a cornerback.
There's only one Jason Elam.
Yeah, it's not Jason Elam. Believe me, it's not him.
I hope to have him on the show one day, actually.
No. Oh, you do?
I hope so. I'm trying to get him on.
Oh, you know him personally?
No, I don't. I'm just trying to get his, you know, contact with his people, so. Oh.
Nice.
That'd be huge.
Pimping him. I know, but Kahir Elam is a terrific guy. He's a four-star, top 50 guy. And it's between him and Georgia. Florida led for a long time, but Florida's defensive back coach went to Georgia. And I guess he had a really good relationship with him, so that made it pretty even. So watch for that. But if Florida's able to land, like, more the four-star DT and Elam, they're going to have a very good signing day. And Penn State, Washington, I hate to say it, can't stand the Huskies, but they're looking pretty good come signing day. They're favored to land Asa Turner, a four-star athlete. They're also favored to land four-star linebacker Daniel Himili. And it's between them and the Ducks and USC for Puka Nacua, big time. This gets good, man. I saw him play at the All-American game. I saw him play at the Polynesian Bowl. Explosive, one of the better receivers in high school in this recruiting class. He's currently committed to USC, but I don't think he stays with USC. I think he flips, and I think it's going to be Oregon or Washington. I think Washington leads, but he goes to Oregon this weekend. But if Washington's able to land Himili, Asa Turner, and Puka Nacua, they end up with a very good class and a very good signing day. So watch out for them. I would also watch out for Florida State. They're kind of finishing up their class. If they're able to land, keep cross, land, I think it's LaGrange or something, a four-star dual-threat quarterback from Louisiana. Maybe Florida State has a decent end. But, yeah, there's some interesting storylines. You're not going to see a lot from Alabama. They might land one or two guys. They already have the number one class pretty much signed. So, what are you going to see from them?
I guess according to you, they're not going to see much. They got what they need.
Yeah, the number one class. Then you got – the only thing would be is if Georgia lands. Georgia's in it for Nick Cross, and Georgia's in it for Kahir Elam. If they land both of those guys, and a couple of the guys that maybe will decommit from Alabama, if they decommit like Christian Williams, the cornerback, and there's a running back I think that might decommit too, you could possibly outside chance if that happens, if they land those people, that actually Georgia gets the number one class. So there's slight possibility Georgia beats Alabama for the number one class.
Wow.
But it's kind of slight. A lot would have to go right for Georgia, and a lot would have to go wrong for Alabama. But it's possible. Just putting that out there. LSU is another team. They're the favorite for that. I can't remember his name. It's Alexander, the four-star athlete. They're also favored to flip Christian Williams from Alabama. They're also favored to land Ishmael Softer, a four-star defensive tackle. It's actually between them and Bama. But I think he goes to LSU. And so LSU is another one who could have a very good signing day.
Well, there you have it.
But there you go.
You'll be back next week. Keep watching. To talk about it.
Yeah, let's go Wednesday, dog. Let's go next Wednesday and we'll talk about it.
We got a sportscast date. So
you're not going to hear a lot, but like just expecting. Just get you prepared. Don't be prepared to ask me a bunch of questions about Alabama and Oregon, because Alabama and Oregon have their team class.
Yeah, they got locked up. This is like the secondary team.
They're not
getting this stuff.
Like Oregon, what would make their day big is if they flip Puka Nacua from USC, or really outside chance, Kyle Ford, who's also committed to USC. There was rumors he was considering maybe flipping to Oregon. But then as of yesterday, those rumors seem to be squashed a little bit. It seems like he's probably going to stay with USC. But that would be the only way. If Oregon's able to flip one of those two guys, then it'd be a pretty good day for Oregon.
Well, there you have it. Recruit, their second signing days next week. We'll see some other teams getting some marbles, getting some more value into their teams, and try to compete next year for the college football 2019 and 2020 season. So it should be exciting. Tyler's on top of it. You can't miss a spot here on the Sportscast. Are you ready for some predictions?
Sure.
Well, we actually have college basketball, one game, UVA at NC State.
UVA.
Okay. And finally, the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots at the Rams. You go long-winded on this one, if you want. What's going to happen?
Rams.
Why?
Rams.
Why?
Because they are Rams.
Nothing else. What are we going to see?
I'm completely kidding. I hope you know. The reason why I am picking the Rams is because I don't want the Patriots to win. But no, but I really think that Sean McVay, obviously that's why even a Cliff Kingsbury gets hired. That's why a Matt LaFleur gets hired. He really is an innovative coach. He has a very innovative offense. He has very talent positions that you really need it. You know, he has Jared Goff is a very good quarterback. He's one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. Todd Gurley is one of the best running backs. He can, you know, he's just a guy that can do everything from the running back position. You have Sammy Watkins. They have another really good wide receiver. I can't think off my top of my head, but he's very good. They have a very good defensive line. We have Wood. They have another guy too. I'm not thinking. But then they have a very good defensive line. Aaron Donald's the best defensive tackle in the NFL. So between like just having like some guys that can get after the pass rusher, an innovative coach, a quarterback who can make some plays, and some playmakers who really have the ability to make plays, I like the Rams. And long story, like little side note, is I've always been a Packers fan, but I was a St. Louis Rams fan when they had Kurt Warner. Now, my fandom didn't last long because once he left, I didn't. But because of that, I'm probably the only other team other than the Packers that I have found myself rooting for several times in my life was the Rams.
With Isaac Bruce
when they came back,
and Torrey Holt.
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, you know, Hakeem. All those guys. So now that they're better again, if I'm not going to root for the Packers, I probably will root for the Rams. So long story short, I'm cheering for the Rams. I think this young coach who's innovative with these really talented playmakers and a terrific defensive line. Oh, not Adam Kinsu, too. Adam Kinsu, Aaron Donald, two of the better interior defensive linemen in the NFL. I think between being able to get after Brady, making plays in space, I'm going to go Rams.
Yeah, and these are the Rams wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Josh Reynolds, Mike Thomas.
Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Reason why I remember him so well is he was at Eastern Washington. Terrific FCS player. He put up an amazing game against Oregon when they played against him. It was actually Vernon Adams was the quarterback. Oregon won, but they played very well. And actually Adams ended up playing for Oregon. He actually ended up transferring to Oregon. Kind of a funny story. But Cooper Kupp was a terrific guy. I remember seeing him. I'm like, why did people recruit him? This kid's amazing. He had, I don't know, 15 catches for 197 yards. He ended up going to the combine. He was one of the, under the radar guys who really showed his abilities. He ended up being a middle round guy. He's been a terrific, wide receiver. So between Sammy Watkins, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and then you got Todd Gurley, and even a guy like Brandon Cooks that can do a lot of stuff. You got one of the more dynamic skill position groups for anyone in the NFL. And then Jared Goff's just a really good quarterback. He was great at Cal. Even though Oregon whooped his butt every single year they played, Jared Goff was a guy that you saw a lot of potential out of, and he's been a good very good NFL quarterback. And so I like it. I think they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and Jared Goff is from Northern California, like Tom Brady.
Cali.
And random question of the day, what's the best type of puzzle? Jigsaw, crossword, Sudoku, and word search. Or word search.
You know, I'm not a huge puzzle guy. Probably should be a bigger puzzle guy. Word search.
Me too. I like word search. That's the best one. Sudoku have not gotten into it. Crossword is quite challenging. Jigsaw, I didn't play as much. But, well, there you have it. Tyler, how can people reach you to talk to you about the transfer portal?
Tyler Turner, MPLS, Twitter, Instagram.
Follow him there. He could reply back to you and definitely talk a little bit about sports. Thesportscast.net. Follow us there. And Super Bowl week is this week. Super Bowl game is this weekend. You know, many of you guys are going to watch some commercials, maybe some Maroon 5, but primarily the game. We'll see if Tom Brady wins his sixth championship. Anyways, Tyler, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks, dude.